Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thank you for joining us. We just, about an hour ago, this report came over from the French news agency, Agence France-Presse, that Iranian Revolutionary Guard forces have been spotted by British troops crossing the border into southern Iraq. That's according to The Sun, a British newspaper. Britain's defense ministry would not confirm or deny the report, with a spokesman declining to comment on, quote, intelligence matters, end quote. An unidentified intelligence source told The Sun, quote, it is an extremely alarming development, raises the stakes considerably. In effect, it means we are in a full-on war with Iran, but nobody has officially declared it. I'm just reading this as for the first time as I'm saying it. So we'll see. I don't. This could be it. This could be what they've been waiting for, the Nazis, because the pressure in our government, the pressure is truly on, and the Brits are about to have a new prime minister, I think, on Wednesday. This would be an opportune time, wouldn't it, to initiate some sort of black ops operation by the CIA to make it appear as though Iranian troops have invaded Iraq. So hold on to your booties, children. Today in D.C., former EPA head Christy Todd Whitman, former governor of New Jersey, and the woman that a lot of people thought was a closet progressive, she was booed. She was booed at the hearing. The hearing was called by Representative Gerald Nadler, a Democrat in New York, about the public statements made by the EPA 6 years ago regarding air quality near the bombings, the attack in Lower Manhattan. As a result of the false information put out by the EPA, according to Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York, a study of more than 20,000 people by Mount Sinai Medical Center concluded that since the attack, 70% of Ground Zero workers have suffered some sort of respiratory illness, and a separate study released last month found that firefighters and EMS people contracted something called sarcoidosis, a serious lung-scarring disease. Sarcoidosis. There you go. Sarcoidosis. It scars your lung tissue. That's all we need to know. And firefighters and rescue workers have been developing this at a rate more than five times as high as in the years before the attack. So Whitman was testifying for about 3 hours. And sometimes, at points during this hearing, members of the audience shouted in anger, and Representative Nadler had to gavel them down. Whitman said, yeah, there are indeed people to blame, but they are the terrorists who attacked the United States, not the men and women at all levels of government who worked heroically to protect and defend this country. What a gratuitous, half-assed, condescending statement, huh? No, Christy, no. Whoever bombed the Trade Center buildings, whoever brought them down, is responsible for over 3,000 deaths. But the United States government, under the control of George W. Bush and ostensibly your agency, are responsible for the people who were not warned to stay away. But you see, back then, 6 years ago, see, this is what pisses me off. Even now, 6 years later, this is the first time Whitman has testified, isn't it? I mean, this directly. People have been getting sick and dying for 6 years. Nobody takes responsibility in this Bush crime family. Of course not. Of course not. Nadler said he called the hearings after years of criticizing federal officials for what he says was a negligent and incomplete cleanup. He said the Bush administration, quote, has continued to make false, misleading, and inaccurate statements and refused to take remedial actions even in the face of overwhelming evidence, end quote. And then Todd Whitman sat there and said that that kind of a statement was full of misinformation, innuendo, and downright falsehoods. Yeah? Where, Christy? Where? What part of that statement is not true? It was very important, you see, to capitalist America to get Wall Street back up and running, to get the tens of thousands of people who work near ground zero to go back to work as quickly as possible. How long was the stock market closed? 10 days? Whitman has insisted, of course, over the years that her statements that the air is safe were aimed at those living and working near ground zero, not those who actually toiled on the toxic pile that included asbestos, dust, and fibers. You see how Republicans, even a snot like Whitman, you see how they do it? Well, okay. When I said the air is safe, what I meant was, you see how they do it? Rescue workers and activists, September 11th, rescue workers came to the hearing. And there was hissing in the audience when Whitman said she felt that former Mayor Rudy Giuliani's administration, quote, did absolutely everything in its power to do what was right, end quote, in handling the health concerns. No wonder they hissed. The Giuliani administration did nothing. That's why the Republican base, the psychotic group of sociopaths, love him, even though he represents everything the Christian right would die to prevent, whether it is recognition of gay couples, whether it is gun control, whether it is a woman's right to privacy. All of that stuff Giuliani says he's in favor of. But the Christian right and the fundamentalist right love him, because he lies. And if there's anything the Christian fundamentalists love, they will embrace until they all suffocate, is a liar. They love lies. 10 commandments go to hell. They love lies. They love somebody who's deceptive and two-faced and facetious and a liar. And then this freak, Trent Franks, who is he? A representative from Arizona. You people listening in Phoenix, who is this freak? He's the ranking Republican on the House Judiciary Committee. Guess what he said? He said he's worried that assigning blame to Christy Whitman could mean in future crises that, quote, officials might default to silence, end quote. What? What have we had for 6 years from this Bush crime family? Silence. What have we had from Whitman for 6 years? Silence until she had to testify. But you see, this is why the Republican Party is filthy and corrupt and degenerate, because they say things like this. If we assign blame, then officials might default to silence in the future crises that we have planned for you jackasses. Can you believe that? Assigning blame. But I get it. If the Democrats require accountability, that's called assigning blame. When Republicans want to know, that's accountability. Oh, my bad. These filthy pigs. And Christy Todd Whitman sitting there with, this attitude, this patronizing attitude. Well, I told the slaves everything was okay. You know, what? What do you want me to do? What did I do something wrong? The Bush administration did something. No, we were fine. People are dying. People are getting sick. People are having their lungs fall out their asses. Oh, well, I have no idea what's causing that. Don't hang on. Nothing lasts forever but the earth and sky. It slips.
All we are is dust in the wind. All we are is dust in the wind. country is certainly different from what it was on September the 10th, but I find the mood of the country to be incredibly refreshing. In the water, I'd be worried about.
Don't be afraid to care. Leave, don't leave me. Look around.
21 past the hour. Couple other things we're covering tonight. Right after the 9:30 break at the bottom of the hour here, 9:30 Eastern Time, we're going to be joined by Nova M's own Shelley Drobny. He's going to. I asked him to come on the program to discuss this this report that was put together by the what is it? Damn. what's the name of the? Oh, okay. Hold on. Just a second. Center for American Progress. Thank you. Regarding the structural imbalance of political talk radio, this broke last week, Wednesday, I think, Wednesday or Thursday of last week. And it you know, it's something that I've talked about obliquely or tangentially for years. You know, the right-wingers will tell you that the reason 91% of talk radio is conservative and 9% is liberal is because of market forces. That is, was, always has been an absolute lie, in much the same way as Christy Todd Whitman saying it's safe to breathe the air in Lower Manhattan. But the Center for American Progress put together it's in PDF format. You can find it if you want to take a look at it. A synopsis of it explains that despite the dramatic expansion of all the options that are available for consumers today, you know, internet, videos, YouTube, what have you, traditional radio remains one of the most widely used media formats in America. How many times have we talked about, especially where it concerns these brain-dead right-wingers, they get 90% of their information from talk radio, which is not a news medium anyway. It's a conversational medium or a medium designed to kill your soul and make the rats eat your brain. Arbitron, the national radio ratings company, reports that more than 90% of Americans 12 or older listen to radio each week, which gives radio a higher penetration than television, magazines, newspapers, or the internet. That's one of the reasons for advertisers, the best mode of advertising is still radio. It's still radio. Americans listen on average to 19 hours of radio per week last year. Now, among radio formats, the combined news talk format leads all others in terms of the total number of stations per format and trails only country music in terms of national audience share. Through more than 1,700 stations across the nation, the combined news talk format is estimated to reach more than 50 billion listeners each week. And then the Center for American Progress explains that their analysis of the 257 news talk stations owned by the top five commercial owners reveals that 91% of the total weekday talk programming is conservative, 9% is progressive or liberal. Each weekday, 2,570 hours and 15 minutes of conservative talk are broadcast on these stations compared to one-tenth of that, 254 hours of progressive talk. A separate analysis of all the news talk stations in the top 10 radio markets reveal that 76% of the programming in these markets is conservative and 24% is progressive, although it's more balanced in places like New York and Chicago. Now, this dynamic is repeated over and over and over again, no matter how the data is analyzed, whether one looks at the number of stations, number of hours, the power of the stations, the number of programs. It just goes on and on. Center for American Progress says our conclusion is that the gap between conservative and progressive talk radio is the result of multiple structural problems in the U.S. regulatory system, particularly the complete breakdown of the public trustee concept of broadcast the elimination of clear public interest requirements for broadcasting, and the relaxation of ownership rules. Thanks, Bill Clinton, including the requirement of local participation and management. That's not required anymore. That's why a company like Clear Channel can own literally hundreds of stations that are programmed. A station in East Kneecap, Alabama, can be programmed in New York. And nobody in East Kneecap, Alabama, is ever hired to work at that radio station. Quantitative analysis of all the 10,506 licensed commercial radio stations by Center for American Progress revealed that stations owned by women, minorities, or local owners are statistically less likely to air conservative shows or hosts. And in contrast, stations controlled by group owners, those with stations in multiple markets, or more than three stations in a single market, like here in Atlanta, those stations statistically are more likely to air conservative talk. Now, there's a reason for all this, and we're going to talk to Shelley Drobny after this break to maybe enlighten it a bit. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
About 25 before the hour, Shelley Drobny, who is the founder of Air America Radio, along with Anita Drobny, and the founder of Nova M Radio, is on the phone with us right now. Hey, Shelley.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I wanted you to be on tonight to maybe shed a little heat, if not light, on this report from the Center for American Progress about the structural imbalance of political talk radio. It's all over the place. And then I understand that on Friday, some airhead, Kirsten Powers, on Fox Radio, said that the reason liberal radio is not as big as conservatives is because it's not entertaining or it's no good. What a jackass. And this woman is supposed to be a Democrat?
Well, she's a throwaway Democrat on Fox News. I mean, those are the shills that they hire.
Oh, like Alan Combs.
Right. I mean, okay. She actually, her quote was, she says that liberal talk radio sucks.
Sucks.
Oh, so, okay. I mean, I am quoting her, and I got this email from one of your listeners, and, you know, she's attacking you then, Mike. I mean, obviously, you suck.
Yeah,
so,
well.
I mean, that's the reason why you're not.
I just wish people leave my personal life out of
Well, she didn't say you. She just included.
Well, that went right over your head, Shelley.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
No, I get too serious when I get on the phone with you.
I know. You get very serious. All right, now.
I'm suffering from radio fatigue and rage fatigue.
I hear you.
I hear this nonsense that they put on the air, and, you know, I spent a lot of money, seven-figure amount, to get an education in this process of how blocked out we are, the liberal host,
right,
whether it be you or anybody else. I found that out on Air America. I found that out on Nova M Radio, simply because none of the stations that are big are going to put liberal shows on the air right now. I mean, it's just not going to happen. And what they did, even though we're in Air America, they got 100 stations approximately in the country that are broadcasting liberal talk. And many of them are doing quite well, relative to the power they have. I mean, in Phoenix, we got a 5,000-watt station. Mm-hmm. Most of the stations broadcasting liberal talk are 5,000, 10,000, maybe 15,000 watts. And as a result, given the low power, actually, we're doing quite well. But the problem is that the big stations, the ABCs, the CBSs, the Clear Channels and whatever, they're whatever they put on, they could put on Bugs Bunny and it would have more ratings because of the power they have. For example, you were on WLS in Chicago.
Right.
That's a real go-to station.
Yeah.
WABC is a go-to station. KABC is a go-to station.
Right.
So what happens is that those stations do not change their programming very much, and they're pretty much committed to right-wing talk radio, and that's because of the concentration of ownership, which you referred to in that report by the Center for American Progress. The fact is that they must have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on this report. They could have talked to me, and I would have said, it's all the Telecommunications Act.
Are you talking to me on a cell phone?
No, I'm talking to you on a portable phone, though, which is a wireless. It's not good, huh?
It's not good. Are you near a landline?
Yes, I am. Okay. I will pick one up very quickly. My wife will give it to me. Hang this up, Anita.
Let me see.
Let's see. Is this better?
Oh, much better. I think it's better. Can you hear me?
Yes, okay. I can hear you. Can you
all
hear
right.
me now?
Yes. Stop.
Okay.
All right. So we've talked about this before. And
yes.
First, let me preface this by saying, a lot of people tuning in right now were probably scratching their head and say, what the hell has this got to do with anything? Well, it has to do a lot with everything, because if 91% of talk radio is right-wing and 75% of America is not right-wing, then obviously something is going on here that is detrimental to the for the ability of people to make decisions or express themselves.
Well, the problem is that the ownership of talk radio or of radio stations, the big guys, just like the TV stations. You know, TV is a vast wasteland. We are helpless because they make decisions of programming. And because they very rarely change and they just do the same old, we're really frozen out of the bigger stations that have all the audiences. So it's at this particular point very difficult to get distribution into the major markets with big power stations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the low power stations, you know, that sometimes you can barely hear. I mean, in Phoenix, God bless us, we have a 5,000 watt station that at night, I mean, is powered down.
Don't tell me.
You know what I'm telling you. Okay.
I know, because when I'm on the air, it powers down to what, 1,000 watts?
Yeah,
that drives me crazy. The station that we have in the suburbs of Chicago, where you live, powers down at sundown to what, 500 watts?
They're only licensed to broadcast during the daytime. So in the summertime, they give you 1 hour.
Yeah.
You know, so we get the throwaway stations, and so what we've had here is a situation where before the Telecommunications Act of '96, there was no company could have more than 8 stations.
Right.
So there are all kinds of stations available. Now, the good news is, I'll give you some good news. We've been hunting around for radio stations in different cities, and we found that the Clear Channel one-size-fits-all model is not working. They're starting to sell stations, and stations are being sold in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an opportunity, and I'm kind of working on a concept that, if the big, rich liberals don't want to put up any money, which is the pretty clear from the beginning that we started to go over this concept 6 years ago. You and I started talking about this. I think we really have to think about some listener ownership, not public broadcasting, but listener ownership for radio stations. And I'm working on that concept.
Like a co-op.
Yeah, like a co-op, because, you know, I'll tell you what, the power of numbers can be great. And I'm working with some major liberal websites and blog groups to sort of just pull together and say, look, if we get 1 million members putting up $100, and as Sally Struthers would say, $2 a week, you know, could feed a whole country.
Right.
For $2 a week, what the Founders Club members are doing, for $100, if we had 1 million members, we'd have $100 million of continuing revenue. We could get into every major market.
Right.
We could change the programming, and we could revolutionize radio. And I'm going to work on something like that. And
that seems to be the only alternative. ABC is not going to break loose for you.
No.
And let me back up just a second. There's one thing I want to clear up, because we have the affiliates that we do have. When you talk about in certain markets, we're on throwaway radio stations. You don't mean places like San Diego or San Francisco or Seattle or Portland, these places that carry our programming.
No. That, with the exception
Miami,
of the West Coast, there's some very successful, you know, West Coast stations are doing great.
And the other thing that freaks me out sometimes is how many Clear Channel stations carry, certainly my programming. I think they carry Randy Rhoads' programming. And we're not conservatives. They carry Tom Hartman's programming. And the fact that I think some Clear Channel stations realize when they've saturated a market with right-wing talk, what's left? They bring us in, and all of a sudden, bang, that little station that was getting a 0.5 share, all of a sudden, triples or quadruples its listenership. Now, granted, that only takes it up to a 2 share, but in terms of, quantitatively speaking, their listenership just increased 400%.
Oh, yes, there's no question about it. If you weighted the liberal versus talk power of station, the average station being 5,000 watts on the liberal side, and maybe 50,000 on the conservative side, we're doing great. I mean, there's no question that the Arbitron ratings have come from nothing to a measurable amount. But what I'm saying is that these powerful companies, again, it goes back to corporatism, they control the programming, and we don't have control over it. Even Air America, as you know, one of your all-time favorites, they kicked Sam Cedar off the air, and many of the listeners had no power to change it. My idea would be to have listener-owned radio with equal votes, equal shares, and that, $100, I would even convert the Founders Club members into the ownership. That's what I would do. If I did this, I would convert Founders Club members into owners with an equal vote and a democracy within capitalism. Because the old Wall Street model of the pyramid that I was talking to you about, it all goes up to the owners and entrepreneurs, and there's very little democracy in typical corporatism. But in cooperative corporatism, it really works. So I think that there's a there, and we really have to buy back the media.
So you're working on this idea. This is another one of your projects, then, I take it.
Yeah, well, Nova M Radio is a syndicator. It doesn't own stations. It operates the Phoenix station. And by the way, we pay $425,000 a year just to rent it, okay?
Wow.
I mean, you know, that's a pretty high price to start. And then, you know, it really gets to some... Yes.
What?
Wait, hold on. My wife is talking to me now, and I can't speak to you at the same time that I talk. Anyway, the bottom line...
Wait a second. I'll tell you what. Shelley, talk to her. We got to do a break here. We'll come back after the break. All right? Let me put you on hold. Talk to Anita. We'll do the break. We'll come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Old Mary Jane, she step on a train and find the city light. Get it inside, swim with the tide and taste it.
Shelley Drobny, the founder of Nova M, the founder of Air America. All right, did you get the question from Anita?
No, actually, Anita was buzzing in my ear about an email you sent her.
Oh, my God! She told you the truth about us.
I can't talk to you and him at the same time, you know?
Oh, no. All right. Where were we?
We were talking about listener-owned radio, a cooperative to purchase radio stations and get into the top markets and all the other markets and really break not the right-wing hold, but the corporate hold on the concentration of ownership that was caused by the telecommunications
industry. Right, and this is not, it's not going to happen any other way. People do not, or corporations do not, give up what they have lobbied their asses off in Congress and in the Oval Office to get. They're not going to give it up simply for some quaint idea of fairness in broadcasting.
That's right.
It's just not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, but the good news, as I said, is that Clear Channel and other stations are, you know, getting rid of a lot of their radio stations because they
The redundancy, when you have three stations in a market doing the same thing.
Well, they tried to do, as you said, a standardization for each local community, one size fits all, and it doesn't work.
Right.
And now we have an opportunity because I've been checking out. I have radio brokers, you know, working on buying stations in Boston, Dallas, and other places.
Right.
And they're available. And so all we need is the money now. Before, we didn't even have a station available. There are stations available. And as the previous spot said about Novem Founders Club, there's a lot of surprises to come. Well, this is one of them. We're going to have more hosts and more content, but we're all going to be part of the same operation to buy back the radio stations and get into cities and get distribution that we so desperately need to do. It can be done with numbers, the power of numbers. And my goal is to get a million people not to be members of the Founders Club, but Founders Club members will be members of and will own a piece of the action. Mm-hmm. And so anybody's in the Founders Club now or in the future, join up because you're going to be an owner and you're going to have an equal stake in what's going on in this country. And for $2 a week, you know, people can really help buy back the radio stations that we need to get distribution on for truth-telling. Forget about liberal, just truth-telling.
Well, I can't wait to see what you develop, because I know when you and Anita set your mind to something, it usually turns out you all of a sudden, where there was nothing, there's a network. So,
well, it's got to be that way, because we have actually gotten our hands and knees, and we've had our hats out to all the top liberals, the rich liberals, West Coast, East Coast, politicians, you know, Congress people, everywhere. They just won't do it. And I think there's a subliminal thing in their mind that liberals and progressives are much too independent, and maybe they don't want liberal talk radio to be that successful. You know, I'm not trying to be Freudian or full of psychobabble here, but I've tested the market in every city and all the power brokers, and they just won't do it. And they will provide tens of millions of dollars. For example, the Center of American for American Progress is supported by George Soros, John Podesta's organization. Mm-hmm. Their budget is $10, $15 million a year, and it's a think tank. Now, nothing wrong with think tanks, but I asked...
Well, why don't they take some of the money and oh, never mind.
Well, I talked to these people, and I said, look, can't you just put a little money aside to buy media? And there's enough of us that if we just put our money together, I'm talking
about the rich people. No, but they'll issue reports.
They'll give us a report that you and I could have told them about how many years ago?
Oh, my God. All right, look, I want to take a call here, at least one call. Scott is calling from Little Rock, Arkansas. Scott, you're on with Shelley. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I live in Little Rock, Arkansas, and right now I'm having a stream on the Internet. We did have a station here for almost a year, and I know that Nova M was involved in it in some way. I don't know what happened with that. It just faded out about March. And,
we tried in LMA to rent a station in Little Rock, and it was one of those stations that was so limited in terms of its ability to reach people that we couldn't get any advertisers. I mean,
it was a very weak station.
Right.
And but I would hope that, and I'm very interested in what you were talking about. But what I called about was the Telecommunications Act of 1996.
All right, we've got about a minute here for the question and an answer. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, I feel like at that point, Clear Channel just started gobbling up stations left and right, and you know, some other companies, but they're the main ones. I just wonder how we allowed this to happen. I'll just take my answer off the air.
Okay, well,
thanks,
it's Bill Clinton who signed the act, many members of Congress, and the real problem is too much money in politics, too many media people who contributed to the Clinton administration, and those media people, and I won't name names, they convinced Bill Clinton that this was good for broadcasting. Now, well,
yeah, a lot of those names are Democrats.
A lot of them. Big
time. You know, Sam Zell, your friend there in Chicago, who was the real driving force behind Clear Channel's move to buy all these radio stations, he sold out. He's gone. He's not with Clear Channel anymore, is he?
No. He just bought the Tribune, Chicago Tribune.
Yeah, now he wants...
Well, you know, any improvement, anybody buying the Tribune will be an improvement compared to what we had here, you know.
That's very true.
Such a right-wing paper.
All right, Shelley, thanks. I'm glad you got on here with me tonight to explain some of this, and also keep us posted.
We will. And the fact is that the only way we can do this is to buy the stations through $100 memberships, and every Founders Club member will be an owner in this cooperative, and they will have the pride of ownership.
It's an interesting concept. I'd like to see more details, and I'm sure people out there would like to see more details. So as you work this out, I'm sure it'll be posted at the NovaM Radio website, so people can go there and just take a look at it and say, oh, this looks interesting. All
well,
right.
It's more than that. We're going to have a national release and a lot of PR on this. So.
Oh, okay. Well,
this is sort of like a scoop for all you people, but it's going to happen.
Wall Street Journal is even better than NovaM Radio website.
Well, we're trying for the New York Times, okay?
That's even better.
Well,
all
we
right.
did it the first time, so we'll do it again.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah.
All right, Shelley, thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Keep it up.
Talk to you later.
Take care.
All right, don't forget my paycheck. Oh, wait, that's not till Friday. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NovaM Radio. It's about 7 past the hour. The structural imbalance of political talk radio, indeed. If you want to read this report, go to Center for American Progress website, and you can download the entire report, which puts the lie to claims by these right-wing thugs that for some reason people don't want to hear. Ideas that are similar to their own. The vast majority of people in this country are not neo-fascists. They are centrists or progressives or liberals, and that means they are in the majority. And yet the kind of talk radio programming that's available is this drivel, this right-wing crap. White House... Spokeswoman Dana Tumich Cappuccino Perino has been trying to downplay the astonishing statement by Dick Cheney last Thursday that not only was he not going to turn over information or reports regarding his office's handling classified information to the duly constituted office that oversees that sort of thing, but he tried to get the office abolished. When that didn't work, he said not part of the executive branch. I think Rahm Emanuel, who I don't like at all, but I think Rahm Emanuel, a representative from Illinois, has the right idea. Cut off the bastard's pay. If he's not part of the executive branch, what is he doing hanging out in the White House? Throw him out. Cut off his pay. Oh my God. The National Our Archives does have the power to require reports and to physically audit Cheney's office in regards to confidential material. That's just the way it is, Dick. And if he's not doing anything wrong, what's he trying to hide, right? Isn't that what they always say? Isn't that what these scum-sucking Republicans always tell people who say, well, I don't think I want to have my phone tapped? And don't the scum-sucking Republicans out here in Never Never Land, after being influenced by the scum-sucking right-wing talk show host, don't they always say, well, I don't have anything to hide. I don't care if they open my mail or listen to my phone call. Freedom isn't free, you know. Where are you little weasels now, huh? Your vice president says you're not going to get to see, nobody's going to get to see his dirty little secrets. What a thug this guy is. What an absolute thug. Oh, now, so what's going on? Somebody in Congress said, well, we need to have the Justice Department investigate and find out what the hell Cheney's doing. And remember, we reported this last week, and that's when I started, my gag reflex kicked in, and I started laughing. Gonzalez is going to investigate Cheney? Oh, Jesus, God. And they talk about this stuff with a straight face. However, Senate Democratic Vice Chairman Charles Schumer. Vice Chairman of what? Says that Gonzalez should step aside from the Justice Department's internal debates over whether Vice President Cheney is violating an executive order on protecting classified information. That's right. Schumer says, hey, look, hey, yo, wait a minute. Schumer contends that in the most massive understatement of Schumer's political career, he's saying that Gonzalez is too close to the White House to evaluate whether Cheney must follow what everybody else has to follow in the executive agency. I love it. Way to go, Charles. Way to go, Chuck. Well, Gonzalez is too close to the White House. Too close. He's a pimple on Bush's ass. That's exactly what he is. Yes, he's too close, Dick. Or, I mean, Charles. Schumer, I'm not attacking Chuck Schumer. I mean, he is what he is. But I'm just saying, that kind of a statement, he's too close. Why doesn't Schumer tell the truth? Gonzalez is a punk thug, just like Cheney. They're all thugs. They're going to investigate each other? Oh, okay. Schumer also blasted Gonzalez for taking nearly 6 months to respond to a request from the ISOO. That's the Information Security Oversight Office. That's the office that's trying to get the facts. Schumer blasted Gonzalez for taking nearly 6 months to respond to a request from ISOO that his, Gonzalez's, department clarify Cheney's role in the government. All right. If this thug claims that as president of the Senate, he's exempt from these checks on the executive branch, well then, okay, Gonzalez it was very easy for Gonzalez to write the rules on torture. Very easy for Gonzalez to write the rules on rendition, sending people to other countries to be tortured. Very easy for Gonzalez to write the rules on the death of habeas corpus. But he can't come up with a rule defining what Cheney's role really is. Well, of course he can. But as Chuck Schumer says, he's too close to the White House to evaluate whether Cheney must follow the rules. Oh, my God. God, it just doesn't stop. Have you ever seen anything like this? We talked a week and a half ago about rage fatigue. I don't have rage fatigue. But thank God I exist in a little bubble like George Bush, this little bubble of talk radio. I would hate to be set loose on the street with a weapon, even if it was a stick. I'm afraid of whose eyes I'd try to punch out. How are things going in Iraq? Ooh, hey. Progress. The surge. How many people made it clear? How many non-brainwashed people in progressive media, progressive politics, liberals said, look, it's not going to work. This is an escalation. Remember all that? Let's see. A suicide bomber killed 12 and wounded 21 inside a Baghdad hotel today, where Sunni and Shiite tribal leaders were meeting as part of Iraq's reconciliation effort. Dig that. So who do you suppose bombed them? That sounds like a CIA operation, doesn't it? Yeah, sure as hell does. This was at the Mansour Hotel. An Iraqi journalist also was among those killed. Speaking in Washington, Presidente Bush condemned the attack. He said, "Today, once again, we saw the brutality that extremists can inflict upon society when a suicider killed innocent people who were working towards reconciliation. And I'm going to remain firm and strong as we stand for this young democracy." The blast killed 7 tribal leaders, 5 Sunnis, 2 Shiites, 2 of their bodyguards. South of Baghdad, a suicide car bomber detonated at a Hilla government compound Monday morning, killing 8, wounding 31 others. Hilla is located about 60 miles south of Baghdad. A few hours later, another suicide bomber driving a fuel tanker rigged with explosives struck Baiji police headquarters in northern Iraq. According to a hospital official, 25 killed there, 60 more wounded. Baiji is 120 miles north of Baghdad. In Mosul, a car bomb exploded along a road the southern edge of the city, killing 1, wounding 20. Mosul is 260 miles north of Baghdad. In the Fatil section of Baghdad, 2 mortar rounds landed there. At least 3 people were killed, 4 wounded. Oh, my God. You cannot defeat an insurgent force. It can't be done. We can have 500,000. I'll tell you what, let's put 1,000,000 troops in Iraq. And it will go on. The bloody, go back and, oh, jeez, why? Look at the French experience with Algeria. Look at the American experience with Vietnam. Just look. Look at the British experience in the mandated territories that the Brits tried to run after World War II. Just look. Look at what happens. Or don't. Great Depression, our lives worth the world of power, easy question. Planes hit the towers in the Pentagon, killing those the government wasn't dependent on. It's easy to control the scared, so they keep us in fear. We're their favorite Middle Eastern demon named Bin Laden this year. Bush disguises bloodlust as patriotism, convincing the living to love operation. Let's get them. But when he realized we don't support their attacks, they needed something to distract. Anthrax, let's further demonize his Afghanis. So Americans cheer while we kill their innocent families. And what better place to start a war? Build a pipeline to get the oil that they have wanted before.
You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Twenty-one past the hour. This is Novem Radio. I'm Mike Malloy. All right, let's take some phone calls here about what we were talking about. Let's start with Rocco, who is listening on the internet in Rosedale, New York, or is it Rosendale?
Rosendale.
Hey, Rocco.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to mention something about what Shelley Drobny was saying about these big corporations taking over here, selling the things. But my congressman in the 22nd district of New York, Maurice Hinchey, is sponsoring the Media Ownership Reform Act again. It's an act that seeks to restore the integrity and diversity to America's media system by lowering the number of media outlets that one company is permitted to own in a single market. Mm-hmm. It also reinstates the fairness doctrine to protect fairness and accuracy in journalism and to give the locals more say and more local news and more stuff like that.
I think it's a great idea. I think it has as much chance of succeeding as an ice cube in hell. There's too much money out there, Rocco. I'm sure your member of Congress will do her best to get this at least in for some sort of debate. And since the Democrats do control barely the House, it'll get debated. It'll get tabled. There'll be some procedural rule. The money will flow and it will disappear. After watching this, I can remember 15 years ago, 18 years ago, John Sinton and I, and Sinton was involved in the forming of Air America, He lives here in Atlanta. He just got out of it. He just said, I can't stand this anymore, and left radio completely. But we watched what Reagan did and then what Clinton did. And it was very clear what was going to happen, that this was money. It was only about money. It had nothing to do with fairness, nothing to do with equal time, nothing to do with balanced points of view from liberal or conservative, Democrat or Republican. It had to do strictly with power and money. And it's not going to be undone. That's why I think Shelley's idea, whatever, I'm not real clear on it yet. I'll be curious to see. You know, this guy comes up with ideas that work. And I want
to
see.
But here's something else that might prevent it from working. I hate to be a devil's advocate over here, but you know, what if the conservatives buy into this whole thing? They have their say, and being that it's a democratic thing, that you know, they get more. You know,
they don't work that way. They don't work that way.
Okay.
It's the conservatives work top down. They get the money together from the wealthy conservatives. This is something that liberals, for some reason, wealthy liberals won't do this. And it just makes me furious that they won't. But wealthy conservatives start with top down. They find themselves a Roger Ailes. They find themselves a Rupert Murdoch. And these two thugs then totally corrupt our political system in their quest for more and more and more profit and more and more and more power. Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch are two of the most absolute blatant anti-constitutional criminals in this society. And everything they do is legal. But everything they do is also done with tons and tons and tons of money. You know, Murdoch was paying off Newt Gingrich way back in the mid-90s. It just goes on and on and on. So the reason Republicans won't do what Shelley's talking about is because Republicans hate each other. They only cooperate if they think they're going to make money. They only cooperate if they think Jesus is going to come back. They only cooperate if they can go kill people in some other country. Where it concerns profit, it's dog-eat-dog to these people. So, no. Progressives or liberals, on the other hand, and even though we're the ones that built this country, we're the ones that made this country, until the Republicans took over, a decent place, struggling to do the right thing, Democrats, liberals, progressives will work together. So, I just want to see what Shelley comes up with, and everybody will know, because, you know, he's got contacts at the Wall Street Journal, he's got contacts in the New York Times, and when it finally comes out, we'll see what he's got.
I'd like to see it too, but I'd also like to give Hinchy's thing a chance and at least let people know about it.
I think so. And I respect this woman. I understand, you know, I'm aware of what she's done before. So
he's done.
I'm sorry.
When
this legislation gets reintroduced, will you let me know? Maybe we can get him on.
Sure, I will. Absolutely.
All right, Rocco. Thanks, man. I appreciate you checking.
You're quite welcome. Take care.
All right, you too. You too. What, another break? All right, when we come back, I want to get Leonard in Glendale, Arizona, about this particular topic, and then we'll move on. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
You'd sell your kids into slavery if it was worth a dime. You'd bulldoze your own backyard and you'd come for mine. You're a nation of sheep.
Your host for a Pian's Friends Future, it's Mike Malloy.
Uh, 25 before the hour, quick email here on this topic from RB in Saskatchewan. He writes, Mike, about this is sponsors, not listeners. in the subject line. Mike, about 6 years ago when Peter Werby's show was dropped by an L.A. radio station despite great ratings, I emailed the station and asked him why. Some pencil-pushing geek director wrote back and, in a rare moment of candor, explained that ratings don't matter. It's what the sponsors want that mattered. And these sponsors, of course, are all beholden to the criminal elite power structure. It's all about the propaganda. Yeah, and then some quotes from Goebbels. Thanks, RB. All right, back to your phone calls here. I want to get Leonard in. Leonard is calling from Glendale, Arizona. Hey, Leonard, welcome to the program.
Hello there. And, you know, I'm just a regular working person, so I'm going to take a very much used old cliche. I have met the enemy, and he is me.
Yeah, really.
Because I went to the Kucinich gathering here several weeks ago, Mr. Malloy, and at a house, and there were people from all around here in the Valley of the Sun down here in Arizona, next to the Phoenix, in the Phoenix metro area. And I turned around and said, well, did you hear this or that on 1480? And they're like, what station are you talking about? And they didn't know. And I realized at that point, you know, I do a lot of talking, but I need to start acting more. I need to go out and get cards. Whatever political campaign I've ran in the past, you know, whether it's a recall or whatever it is, I've got, you know, NovaMradio.com, you know, streaming, that type of thing. When I ride the bus, I have the Nova M shirt on. But the thing is, a lot of people don't have computers, believe it or not, in this fast-paced society. But I just think there are a lot of ways to do it, you know. All I can say is Mr. Drobny and yourself are to be applauded, and Jeff Ferries, because I'm talking to people around the station, especially here in Phoenix, and we're all talking about how can we get the word out and attract more listeners. You know, here in the city of Glendale, Arizona, they have a volunteer program for the city of Glendale called the Ambassador Program. Sounds corny, but these people go out and they're like goodwill ambassadors for the city of Glendale, and they go to the events. And I'm thinking, why couldn't all these people from the different states, the affiliates that Nova M have, you know, we could be the ambassadors for the station. We already really are. But make it little, you know, get us together. Have, when we had the party down here in Phoenix, it was a heck of a job for you guys to put on. I mean, I said, why don't you guys do this one, you know, once every couple months, and they looked like they wanted to strangle. All I can say is I'm desperate to get the word out, you know, because, you know, I've talked about it enough. I was in the Army. And I think a lot of the fellow veterans and soldiers I know, you know, the one name I heard about when I was in trouble in Iraq was your name. And I Googled on the Internet at that time. I went into a little Internet cafe on the post, and sure enough. And so this is something you guys have hit upon, and I need to get out there, and I need to spread the word. And can I just give my website out?
So, oh, yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
It's called ArizonaRecall.com, and there I have my email and suggestions if people want to contact me. I want to get out there and start getting this thing done. We can do it, but, you know, it's easy for me to sit here and talk to you on the phone. I need to go out and get those cards printed up on my limited budget as a teacher and just let people know about this station. And anyways, thanks again, Mr. Moy, and the whole family, and Mr. Drobny. I mean, thank God we've got you guys at the helm, and, you know, Ferries, Jeff Ferries, and yourself, because we're a family, and all the people listening in the other states that carry Nova M, we're together in this, you know. You guys have been the therapy. Ever since I got back from Iraq, I never felt alone, thanks to a lot of beautiful people. Well, hey, you guys have a good one, and I'll keep listening off the air.
Right,
off the phone.
That's very kind. Thanks, Leonard. I appreciate what you had to say. I appreciate it. The thing that drives me, I can understand Leonard's frustration and multiply it by a factor of 10 or 1,000 and you get to the level of my frustration. I'll tell you why. I've had a damn good program, radio program, for the past 20 years. When I was on WSB, 50,000 watt blowtorch of the Southeast, I had the top ratings for any nighttime program in Atlanta. When I was on Chicago, WLS, 50,000 watt blowtorch in the Midwest, same thing. As far as I know, I, your good friend here, Mike Malloy, the only liberal talk show host in America who has won the AIR Award, that's the Achievement in Radio Award, that is voted on by other people in the industry in both New York, the number one market, and Chicago, the number three market. No one else can say that. Not Ed Schultz, not Tom Hartman, not Randy Rhodes, not Sam Cedar, not Al Franken. Nobody. Nobody. And yet, here I sit every night on Sirius, the Internet, and about 14 radio stations. And it drives me crazy. Now, when I was at WLS, won the Air Award the same month I got fired. When I was at on a New York radio station, when I worked at Air America, I won the Air Award. 5 months later, I got fired. Go figure. So, you know, when I hear these whiny ass, and there are a couple. I'm not referring to Randy or Sam or Hartman, but there are a couple of whiny ass liberal talk show hosts. Well, I'm more popular than he is. You know, and I think about that, and I think, what have these people done? Nothing except whine. And, you know, they're on 100 radio stations. They're 50 radio stations. Or what? I would kill to be on 100 radio stations. So you talk about frustration. You talk about, and it's not a matter of money or power. I could care less. I've made a living in radio. That's all I've ever made is a living. And I'm like, Kathy and I are like any other working class family, middle class. She works and I work. And if she didn't work, if we didn't have her paycheck, and this is no reflection on Nova M or Air America, they just, neither company had money at the time. But if she didn't work, it would be hard for us to make ends meet. It just would be. So it's not about the money, being on 1,000 radio stations or 100 radio stations. I do the best goddamn talk show in America. That's what irritates me. Excuse me. Bar none. Limbaugh has never won an Air Award. Hannity, in the number one and number three markets, Hannity's never won it. Mike Savage has never won it. Hugh Hewitt has never won it. Alan Colmes has never won it. But I have. In the number one and the number three markets in America, which means very clearly that this station is marketable anywhere in the country. But because I'm a progressive, I'm a liberal, you see, I've got to work against this tide of right-wing garbage and filth that is talk radio. And it drives me crazy.
Ranting.
I'm ranting. I'm sorry. I get angry about this, Kathy. You know, because you listen to it. I don't talk about this on the air. It's the first time I've ever brought this up.
Honey, I think you're wonderful.
No, stop, stop. I'm serious. I'm sorry. I know you're trying to get me off and back onto the topic, and I'll go back. I'm sorry. But this drives me crazy, especially when I hear so-called liberal talk show hosts whining because they don't get noticed. And I think, noticed for what? What the hell are you doing? You know, what is it that you're doing?
You should talk more about hunting.
Yeah, well, whatever. So it just, you know, this has been a 20-year-long struggle. I couldn't believe it back in the day, you know, when I started at WSB, and all of a sudden the program I was doing just took off like a rocket. And the Cox Communications, the ones who syndicate where Neil Bortz originates. Bortz and I were on the same station. Hannity came out of this market. And I used to kick their asses in the ratings, just stomp them. But I had a point of view that was left, that was liberal. It wasn't even left. Real leftists used to call in and say, I don't know why they call you a leftist. I'm a leftist. You're a liberal. So whatever's fair. But this is just something that I've had to deal with, and that's okay. It's okay, except for the fact, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to be in talk radio, seriously. But I think about there are other talented people like me, who just haven't had a chance because they've been frozen out. And that's what drives me crazy. When you have some useless pig like Neil Bortz on 100 radio stations or some degenerate freak, drug-addled child molester like Rush Limbaugh or some supercilious idiot like Sean Hannity on all these stations, and people say, oh, well, they must be so popular. No, they're not. It's because the radio stations and the syndicators and the multiple radio station owners put them on. What are you playing? All right. All right, I'm sorry. I'll stop. It's just infuriating, that's all. Only time I'll bring it up. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Yet should the tyrant yoke of leading nation, and those around us fall unbended knee, we will remember your fiery orations. Your words will give us strength to stand for liberty. And so we wait until the time's upon us.
Good thing we're married. I can't fire you. But 9 before the hour. So I got my little 2 cents worth in. All right. I get very frustrated. I get tired of the tidal wave of lies and crap that comes from right wing talk radio. I get tired of the whining that you hear from certain liberal talk show hosts, and I also get tired of the fact of watching this program be so marginalized, and every time we're given a shot, I was hoping to ace Los Angeles until we got kicked off of KTLK to make way for who? Alan Combs? Jesus. All right, that's enough. Sanchez is listening on the internet, of course, calling from Montebello, California. Hey, Sanchez, welcome to the program.
Yeah, you just dropped in right now, and you were saying something about when you got dropped off at KTLK. I'm sorry, what were you going to say? Because the time cut off. What were you were going to say?
I was on KTLK.
No, I remember. That's where I first heard you, man.
Yeah, and got dropped and replaced by some idiot. I have no idea who replaced me out there. They went through an entire format change.
Yeah, and that was part of the reason why I'm calling you. So it's funny that you're talking KTLK, because the guy that they have in the afternoons is so pathetic and so thoroughly frustrating at this point that from now on I'm listening to Jeff Farias and KPHX in the afternoon.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so I've been doing that for a while. It's just, you know, the first thing he started off with this afternoon was Paris Hilton and how he would snag her for an interview as opposed to anybody else. Like, you know, and I'm like, oh, man, it's just depressing.
Yeah, well, that's KTLK. I don't know what happened to them. They just went right down the crapper, I guess.
They've got Alan Combs in there, and they've got a few other people that just surprised me.
Well, didn't they drop Harris on the edge?
Yes, they did. They dropped Harrison. They also dropped Marc Maron. Remember, Marc Maron had an evening show out there, and they dropped him as well. So they're just, you know.
Incredible talent, and I put myself in that category. Sorry, but I don't believe in false modesty. Harrison on the edge, Marc Maron, Malloy, I don't know who else they dropped to put somebody on who wants to talk about Paris Hilton. There you go. Well,
yeah, and his claim is he just, you know, he's not here to, like, save the world. He's just here to have a talk radio show. And that's the difference. He's a talk radio guy. He's not a progressive radio host, and that's the difference. And that's, I sent them an email, man. I fired one off to them and just said, like, you know, you need to get Malloy back in there because, you know.
Never happened.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's just not going to happen. Trust me.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, so am I.
Well, let me start off. Could you give me like 10 seconds of frivolity here?
Go ahead.
I want to send a shout out to all my homies in the Nova M chat room at this point. Kishka.
Okay, you did it.
But, okay, getting back to the topic here, because I am thoroughly appalled at the lack of media coverage this particular weekend. Now, I had a busy weekend, and I tried to do my best to monitor the airwaves, but as far as I could tell, none of the major networks were carrying anything when it came to this the issue of the constitutional crisis. So what the hell is going on here?
Are you talking about Cheney?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, this is one of the major issues, and this goes to what you were saying about power and money. If they don't start covering this, the future – I'm sorry, I hate to sound so down about this, but the future of the country is at stake here, Mike.
Well, I understand. I make it a rule now. I no longer – Sunday morning, I will watch the CBS Sunday morning program.
Uh-huh.
You know, the little magazine program. I like that. And then I turn it off, and we go do something. We get the hell out of the get out of the house, and if we're going to stay home, we put on one of the Sirius satellite music channels and just stay with that all day. I won't watch it anymore because I know that media whore number one Tim Russert and poor old Bob Schieffer and Wolf Blitzer and the rest and George Brutus Stephanopoulos, they're going to have garbage that doesn't apply to anything that's important to me or any other American. It's crap. Are you telling me then that none of the Sunday talk shows address
Cheney? Mike, I'm a DJ. I had a real busy weekend, and I did my best to try. But, no, I was just going through, like, you know, a lot of gigs this weekend, so I didn't have a chance. I've asked people in the Nova M chat room. Nobody knows anything there.
Yeah.
One of my local hosts, just going back to KTLK for a second, finally woke up, the guy on Sunday afternoon. He finally woke up because he realizes that Cheney going above the law, calling himself above the Constitution at this point, he says, okay, that's it. I'm on the impeachment side at this point. So I say bravo to him, because he finally woke up.
Well, Cheney now operates within the fourth branch of government, you see. There are four branches now: judicial, legislative, executive, and Cheney.
Yeah. Now, that's a pretty twisted bonsai tree to have four branches like that.
Isn't he such a rat bastard. I have never come across anyone like Cheney in my lifetime of observing the political scene. I've never seen anyone like him. I've not read of anybody like him in Nazi history or in communist history.
Mm-hmm.
He is uniquely American and uniquely a vile, sick old bastard that ought to just be impeached. Oh, that's right. We can't impeach him. Never mind.
At least not yet. I'm still being optimistic about this, despite the fact that, let me bring this up. Remember the last time I called and I used the analogy that kind of bummed you out about the sheeple being corralled into like a one corral and then they're going to get hauled off. The next door to open up is the...
Yeah.
The press are the cowboys riding the horse, whistling to get all the sheeple in, and there's some cowboys sitting on the side fence that are still sitting there watching everything. But the press are the cowboys at this point because they're on their side. You know, it's all about power and money, and at this point, the press is on their side, Mike.
So that's the truth.
Last thing from the chat room, we all want to give you a group hug. So there you go.
Thanks, Sanchez. All right, Sanchez. Thanks a lot. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Thank you.
7 past the hour. My name is Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Thank you for joining us tonight. If you have not been to the chat room, I haven't mentioned it tonight, novamradio.com, in the chat room, if you are a founding member, just log in with your username and password. I have not been there yet tonight. I'll try to get there a little bit later. What else do we have to pitch? Anything? That's it? I'm not begging for money tonight? No? Okay. An email here during the break from Jack regarding Cheney, and this is written by Larkrise at lastchancedemocracycafe.com. lastchancedemocracycafe.com. This is what Larkrise wrote about Cheney. Dick Cheney hates this country. As a Democratic entity, he sees it merely as his means to obtain money and wield power. He smirks at it. He laughs at its laws. He views the majority of Americans with disdain and derision. He obviously and blatantly feels he is above working for the people. He's an elitist, an oligarch, a tyrant. He is the consummate top-down executive. No power, no authority will tell him what to do. He is beholden to no one. I compare him to Goebbels or Himmler. He lacks any sense of compassion. Money and power, power and money are his gods. He has never and will never accept the concept of public servant. His arrogance and ego won't allow that. He sees it as demeaning. He not only doesn't see himself as part of the executive branch, he doesn't see himself as part of a functioning democratic government. He wants to run a dictatorship and has convinced Bush to join him in this self-serving enterprise. And not a single four-letter word in there. That's why I decided to read it. Because when I start, thanks, Jack. And you can go to this website if you like, lastchancedemocracycafe.com. When I start talking about Cheney, I just lose it. I just completely lose it. I've never seen this kind of absolute arrogance. He treats us all, or he thinks he does anyway, as though he were the plantation massa, and you and I and all the rest of Americans we're the field hands. We're out here supposed to go work in the fields and pick the cotton and come home, go back to the quarters in the evening time, and then gather around the big house and sing some of those old spirituals for this white massa of ours. That's exactly. Cheney is more. I think he's less of a communist or a Nazi and more of a feudalist. He would like to see feudalism reinstituted somewhere, and he would be the white man who lives in the big house or the castle. And the rest of us could get out here and, plant that cotton and those peanuts and work for massa. Never saw anybody like him. Ever. In politics. All right, back to the phone calls here. Norm, who's listening on KQK. The Quake in San Francisco. Hey, Norm calling from Palo Alto. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. Just a few words about backseat tiebreaker angler. You know what I'm alluding to there. Angler is, just for the listener's sake, a great title of the Washington Post four-part series still going on.
Mm-hmm.
Drop into their site. I'm sure you're aware of that.
Yes.
Just great stuff. His original name, I guess, by the Secret Service was Backseat.
What
and now,
it?
I guess his role, or what he thinks himself, is a tiebreaker, just sitting there, you know. And he's been we've been that way before, if you recall.
Right.
The Senate was divided under Harry Reid's mentor, the most dynamic man, the James Brown of the Democratic Party and the Senate Majority Leadership, Tom Daschle.
Yeah, right.
wow, these guys are. Nowhere, but you know, for a little levity, do you remember that old quiz show, To Tell the Truth?
Yes.
Well, I was thinking all day today, you know, why don't we do something, you know, it's like, will the real executive please stand up? You know, and remember they would always, Kitty Carlisle would peek, you know, and kind of through the blindfold.
Right.
And I was just thinking about that old.
Geez, how old are you, Norm?
I'm 52.
Well, you must be 152. That show hasn't been on the air for 40 years, has it?
Yeah, but, you know, I still remember it.
Kitty Carlisle just recently died.
She did expire just recently in New York City,
did.
I think.
Yeah.
Cheney was not on the guest list. I really doubt it, but.
I don't think so. Kitty Carlisle Hart. She was married to Moss Hart, I believe, the Broadway producer, I believe.
She was like an impresario's wife. That's
yes.
Right. That was her claim to fame on.
Yes.
To Tell the Truth.
But anyway, yeah. I'm sorry. I remember To Tell the Truth. Wasn't the host of it Gary, start with an
The M. guy with the crew cut. Little guy
yes,
with,
yes.
Little guy with the crew cut. Gary.
Somebody will send it to me. Somebody will email it in. Gary, nice guy. Nice
he
guy.
He was a nice man. He
yeah.
was.
But that's not why you called. I'm sorry. I just keep tripping on your words here. Go ahead.
Well, you know, he also cited by the Time Post story, which was superb, by the way. It mentioned that he travels or something, or wherever he goes, with a man-sized safe. And I'm thinking, who's in that safe, man? Is that Jim Guckert or, you know?
Cheney does. That's his box of dirt.
Yeah, right.
You know, he has to travel with this coffin-sized box of dirt. Because at night, what do you think? He doesn't sleep with Lynn. They put him in the box. They put him back in the dirt. That you know where that dirt's from? That's from some mountainside in deepest Romania. You know, the province of Transylvania. That's why he travels with that. That's his dirt. He's got to have his dirt.
You got to have your own dirt.
That's it. That's it.
If you or Commander Guy
Gary Moore.
Gary Moore.
Great
host, great guy. He looked like the other guy.
Thanks, Cindy. He looked like who?
He looked like that other guy from that era. He was like a couch potato on the Carson show. I forget his name. They were almost identical.
Yeah, well, there were a lot of guys who were just, you know, maybe 10 pounds overweight and had crew cuts back in the 50s. I remember. I think I was one. No, I was a kid back in the 50s. I'm just kidding. All right. Well, Cheney is unbelievable. I think he truly is unique in American political history. You can't compare him to Joe McCarthy. You can't compare him to any other vice president. I think he's the one running. The worst part of this government is being run by Cheney.
Oh, definitely.
The invasions, the wars, the deceptions, the lies, the duplicity. Bush is an idiot. He's just, you know, he's not creative enough to be as venal and vile as this government has turned out to be. That it's all coming from Cheney, the venality. I think poor old George, he would like to embrace little Rocky children that we blow up or something, whatever the hell he says. Oh, that's right, we cry when we kill children in Iraq. I think that's a clear indication of George's, you know, George must have an IQ of around 100, little over. And that's about it. And he absorbs whatever the last person said to him. That becomes George's position for the next 10 minutes until someone else talks to him.
Yeah, he's like a little minor bird, kind of like that Peter Sellers character in Being There, but not quite as clever. But this like little minor bird that picks up prosaically little
that's
phrases
right.
or something.
Norm, throwaways. I got a break, but I just got 1,000 emails to say Gary Moore, and then another one. The other guy you're thinking of is either Bud Collier or George Goebbels.
George Goebbels.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks to everybody who sent all this stuff in. Every time something like this comes up, we get like 10,000 emails in about 5 minutes. Gary Moore, and some of you got it right. It's spelled with two R's. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy with 1K.
Teacher, teach me to read because I have learning problems.
listening to the best talk show host in America, the two-time Air Award-winning Mike Malloy.
All right, that's enough. Just because I have to bleed once in a while. Regarding Cheney, Lynn writes in, hi, Mike, that's why he supported apartheid government and did not want to recognize Mandela. What we were talking about, the fact that Cheney is... Cheney is into feudalism. You know, he's stuck here for some reason in the 21st century, and he wants to go back where he was born, which is the 13th century in Middle Europe. Cheney, and he's stuck. But yeah, Cheney, when he was when he was a representative from Wyoming, he worked strongly to deny recognition to the African National Congress and to freedom for the black South Africans, and supported the Nazi regime of P.W. Botha. Why don't people remember that? Well, Lynn did, but I mean, Cheney has spent his whole life being a coward and a sneak and a liar and an elitist and somebody who wanted to use the gun or the whip, preferably the whip, to keep people in line, his line. He favors torture. He favors apartheid. He favors a ruling class small enough that he can sit atop that class. He is such a thug. But he can't be impeached, according to Pelosi and Reid, because, well, whatever. Oh, and just one last word about this Nova M chat room. Apparently, they're all running around in there naked, Kathy. Good God. Back to your phone calls. Matthew, listening on the Internet, calling from Bedford, Texas. Hey, Matthew.
Oh, man, I love that opening.
What opening was that?
The one that Kathy just did.
Well, she's had too many Wheaties today, I think. Too much sugar.
Hey, yeah. Well, look, I agree with you. You are the best, man. I mean, some people like to coin the phrase "most dangerous liberal in America." You are.
Right. Yeah, I like that one. Yeah. Oh well.
So make that an official, whatever you call it, the border or whatever, the okay. Opening. Okay. Anyway, I've got two quotes for you before I get to my main topic. First quote is, the money that would buy the truth will silence it forever.
The money that would buy the truth would silence it forever. Now, wait a second. Is that a conundrum? What is that? The money that would buy the truth would silence it forever. What do you mean?
Well, that's in terms of privatizing the media, the news. Because okay. Let's face it, what is, let's say there's a story out there, and let's face it, most companies are looking to, let's take Rupert Murdoch, for example.
Okay.
He's a conservative.
Sort of.
Duh, yeah. Okay, and he owns a media company, right?
He's also a big backer of Hillary Clinton, don't forget that.
Yeah, and so... What do you think would probably be the worst thing that could happen to his company, or his news?
What?
Something that would maybe expose him or his party. So whatever he has his thumb on, his coin
right.
on,
right.
the truth that Republicans suck.
Right.
And if that, I mean, if his organization would do that, or if his organization would actually be fair and balanced, the
yeah.
truth, then that wouldn't be good for old Murdoch. So he is taking his money and trying to choke out the truth, which is why Fox News lies and lies and lies.
Well, you've got this figured out, Matthew. I swear to God, someday you're going to be either the president of the United States or its dictator.
I've got one more for you.
All right, go ahead, Matthew.
Okay. I'm trying to remember. But, the second one is the great
Oh,
men.
I'm sorry. That was a email bomb. Go ahead.
Blew out my eardrum.
I know, mine too.
But there's one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard, that great men seek to lead, weak men seek to dominate. And Cheney is a weak man.
He is. He defines a weak man. He defines cowardice, and he defines an irritating... he just irritates the hell out of me, Matthew.
And that's always going to be the difference between Democrats and Republicans. Republicans seek to dominate. Democrats, true Democrats, seek to lead.
I like that. I like that. All right, Matthew, thank you. Matthew!
Yes.
Thank you. Take care,
yes,
okay?
All right.
Quick break. We'll be back. Oh, Bob, at Head On Radio, Bob Kincaid writes in about Kitty Carlisle, married to Moss Hart? I thought she was married to Bret Hart. Bob deserves to be heard by 80% of America with jokes like that. Right, Bob? We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. HeadOnRadio.com. You got your number down.
Up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, I'll never do it again, Kathy. I will never again mention anything about on the air in the whiny sound tone of voice that I did about I don't get no respect. That wasn't the point, but anyway. All right, Scott is calling. He's listening in Seattle on 1090 AM, 1090. Hey, Scott, welcome to the program.
You know, that song actually fits one of the perp people you'll be debating when you come up here next month, and I won't mention his name.
Thank you.
But anyway, I wanted to address two issues. The first one, when you had one an emailer that said something about advertisers not wanting to support progressive radio. And I don't think that that's necessarily true. They care about selling their product. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a case in point. We have a radio station up here, which used to be, and it's not the one that carries your show, but it's an intercom station. Mm-hmm. They used to carry a mix of progressive and moderate and so-called right-wing talk shows. In fact, the one who was the most loudest liberal on there, who had the same time slot that you had, actually they expanded him another hour, got the highest ratings of both the day and nighttime ones.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they, you know...
Eventually
they got some Nazi that took over the programming. Sure. They got a couple of Nazis in there on the daytime and so-called moderates, and then they got a Mutt and Jeff act, and then the person that eventually took over his slot was some two-faced Nazi that had a weekend show, and they put him on in the daytime. But anyway, eventually they told him, supposedly the advertisers wanted him to tone down the rhetoric, and then he found out later that it was not that. It was just that was the way the station, the program directing was going.
Right.
Because they got high ratings and they were selling. In fact, the advertisers wanted to advertise on his show because he had the highest ratings.
Sure.
So it's not the advertisers.
It works that way so often. You have a high-rated liberal or progressive talk show on a station where there may or may not be, that usually are, right-wingers. And eventually the pressure, I went through the same thing in Chicago. Chicago, one of the most liberal cities in America, has a history of liberalism.
Mm-hmm.
And the program I was doing, I said earlier tonight, won the AIR Award. It was a top-rated program in the evening. But everybody that was on that station on a regular basis, there was one guy, Nate Clay, who was on only on weekends. But everybody else was a right-winger. So who gets squeezed out eventually? The liberal, of course. And then people say, well, the market determines this. No, the market doesn't. It's determined by, as you point out, program directors who decide that the advertisers don't want to take a chance on more than half the audience hearing a liberal point of view, which drives me insane. I don't think liberals really say that at all. I mean, advertisers really say that at all.
No, they don't.
They didn't at the station WLS where I worked in Chicago. They were thrilled to have the program on.
They just care about selling their project.
That's all. They want to reach an audience. They don't care if you go on the air and just curse all day, as long as you don't violate FCC rules and regs. If you bring in a million listeners, they want to be on the program, period, end of story.
And the other thing I wanted to address real quick, you had another email or another caller, actually, it said something about some legislation that they were trying to restore some of the fairness doctrine or something.
Yes, a representative in New York, right.
You know, I'm going to say this. I think the only way as far as these kind of issues and stem cell and stuff that's going to be brought back to the people is that we take a look at the national initiative that Mike Revelle is proposing. I think that's the only way, because with all of these lobbyists and representative government, that's not going to happen. It is just not going to happen, and they are not going to turn their backs from all of the money they're getting from their campaigns to do it. I think we really need to look at the national initiative, because it's two-pronged. One, it's a constitutional amendment, and another, it's a statute. And that way it gets the Congress and gets the representatives out of that.
But there's no mechanism for a national initiative. Those are they can only be done by the states. Isn't that correct?
Actually, no. That is
I know a constitutional amendment can work its way.
The way he's going about it, and I'm not sure if I'm exact right about the amendment, is working through the 10th Amendment and through Article 7, because there was a loophole there that was never actually determine on how the people actually go about asserting their rights, because what he says was that the Congress will never pass it. And what's proposed is that 60 million people have to vote for it in order for it to become law. So he's not suggesting that it's going to go through Congress. So there is kind of a loophole there. And I truly think that that's really the only way that we're really going to have any kind of progressive legislation that's going to pass through, because you're not going to get it from representative government. I mean, it's just
The only other way, I think, would be a veto-proof Democratic majority in the House and a supermajority in the Senate.
Well, Mike, I'm not even so sure about that. I mean, my God, we have a majority now, and they're sitting here whining about that they don't.
But we have too many Democrats who are really Republicans, like Hillary Clinton, like Joe Lieberman. These kind of people need to be replaced with people who are true Democrats.
How many years are you going to spend ferreting out these kind of people, too? That's the problem.
I mean,
they're all over the place. You don't really know who's being brought. I mean, you've got Barack Obama sitting here making statements about how, he wants to get the lobbyists out of Congress. Now, do you really think that's true, considering how much money that they've donated to his campaign? I really think that really is the only way. And, he does point out an example of Switzerland has the same kind of government going on there. I mean, I don't see it through representative government.
This is new to me. I've not been following Mike Gravel's candidacy for all the wrong reasons. I haven't been following it. But the
go to Gravel2000.us and look at the national and the whole thing about the national
initiative. Okay, that's a new one on me. I like the way it sounds. The only thing I don't like about initiatives is it's total mob rule. I don't care if it's on a state level, and I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, but initiative, there's no check and balance on it. If you come up with 50% of the vote plus one, It passes as a law, and if 49% of the vote plus 99 said no, they can go screw.
Well, look at what you have now. You have a total elitist mob rule that's ruling us now.
Well, I understand. I just want to be careful that if we do get back to participatory democracy, representative democracy, that we don't go too far the other way. And I know I sound like some middle of the roader there, and I'm not. I'm strictly a left liberal. But that's the only argument I've always had, Scott, against statewide initiatives. And if it's a federal initiative, if you have 50% of the people plus one who are in favor of it, 49% of the people who are not, if it's an initiative, it goes through. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I understand what you're saying.
That's the difference between a republic and a democracy. A democracy is pure mob rule. Republic says, now, wait a second. You see? So
I understand what you're saying, but you got to look at it this way. We have good law and bad law that's going through representatives.
Well, I'll check it out. I'll go to Gravel's website because it's intriguing, and you're bringing it up. It's the first time I've heard about it, and I probably should be embarrassed about that, but it's the first time I've heard about it. So I'll check it out, all right?
Yeah.
All right, Scott. Thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Take care. Let me see here. John is calling from Michigan, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
John from Michigan?
Yes, yes.
Okay, cool. Hey, I got to talk to you a few nights ago, and I got cut off because I said a four-letter word. So I'm new. I told you.
Okay.
I've been listening to you for about 2.5 months.
Okay, so you won't do it again, right?
No, I won't do it again. I'm learning the rules.
Okay. That's cool. That's cool.
I wanted to bring up again this highway coming through Mexico.
Yeah.
Right through the United States. It's coming. I live in Michigan, so it's coming right through Michigan into Canada through the Ambassador Bridge.
Now, are we sure? I've heard about this too. Are we sure this is a real thing, or is this one of those poisonous little urban legends that somehow is starting out? Are we sure that this massive? Do you know how long it would take to build a highway like that, to get the rights of way?
Yeah.
Are we sure this is real?
They built it in Mexico because obviously Mexico doesn't have very good highways and stuff, but they're already running through the United States on highways. Now, I have a website, right?
Yeah.
You can go to it.
What's the name?
And listeners,
how do people get to it?
It's www. It's NASCO Corridor, one word. NASCO.
NASCO.
NASCO Corridor. CORRIDOR.
Okay.
.com.
Okay.
And web pages, you might get like one hit on it, I go to MSN or Yahoo,
yeah.
You'll get like 3 pages or 5 pages of websites
right.
to go to.
Right.
This is a real thing. Congress approved this in like, I think it was 2003.
Mm-hmm.
It's a done deal. You know.
You've got information at your website? Right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's send people there. I've got a break here. John, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. And as far as that road is concerned, I've heard about it. I don't know. It's another thing I need to check out. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
It's not just me and it's not just you, this is all around the world. Out in the Indian Ocean somewhere, there's a former army post, abandoned now just like the war. And there's no doubt about it, it was the myth of fingerprints. That's what that old army post was for. Well, the sun gets bloody and the sun goes down. Ever since the watermelon and the lights come up on the Blackhead town, somebody said, what's a better thing to do? Well, it's not just me and it's not just you. This is all around.
10 before the hour, thanks to the crew of liberals. Made this program possible again tonight. Ian Huff engineered the program in Phoenix at KPHX, also answered your phone calls. Our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota. Billy Foster, the moderator of NovaMRadio.com chat room. Thanks to Mark Marshall for all his work over the years and the militant moderators at MikeMalloy.com. In the message on the message board. Catherine Bay is the exact. I can't talk tonight. It's because you keep.
But you're the best talk show host
in
America.
Catherine Baer, executive producer. And if you would like to be a Nova M founding member and want to do it through the mail, you can send a check to 824 Washington, Phoenix, 85034. Marge is calling from Indiana. Hey, Marge, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hey,
it's
Marge.
It's hot and it's muggy and my brain is melting. I just got to ask.
Go ahead.
Who are you going to interview first, Paris Hilton or Dick Cheney?
Paris Hilton, obviously.
Oh, God. Do you know this turkey that calls himself, how does he define himself these days, a legislator?
Who's that?
Cheney.
He says that since he does occasionally, once in a while, perform a ostensibly legislative function, he's above the law where it concerns the executive branch. This guy is unbelievable, Marge.
Well, bite my tongue so I don't say something
Thank you.
That I shouldn't say.
Thank
but,
you.
You know, back when clown show got started, didn't he claim executive privilege when he was writing an energy bill?
Sure. Oh, he's claimed executive privilege or cover through the executive branch.
CYA.
As long as that worked. But you see, this little insignificant office of the federal government that is to keep track of classified documents wants an audit. And now all of a sudden he says, no, Cheney is a weasel. Cheney, I said it before, he would like to be the yeah. landowner, the feudal prince, and everybody yeah. else is a serf, and we have to do what the master says.
You know the ironic part about this, and I don't know the exact count, but I know it's over 200. The bozo that sits in the Oval Office has issued over 200 executive orders, mm-hmm. and that's what he's defying. It's
right.
an executive order that he said, I don't have to listen to because I'm not an executive.
He's defying his boss.
Yeah.
only we know that Cheney's the boss. George is just doing what he is told to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's that, too.
Yeah.
But the thing that I trying to figure out, and I don't have the skills in research sufficient to find it out. I know it's over 200 because my representative told me so, but he wouldn't tell me what they are.
Uh-huh.
That nobody seems to know. They carry the weight of law.
Right.
You know, and you're not supposed to claim ignorance of the law if you get caught short and saying, well, I didn't know. You know, well, ignorance of the law is no excuse, so they tell me.
Well, the executive orders are only published, I think, at the WhiteHouse.gov website. And if you don't know that, how are you to know what executive order it is that you might have violated and for which you are going to Guantanamo?
I swear to God, these people, they defy, you know, and any kind of logic. And then they appoint people that say, well, you know, students can't, we're going to cut off their freedom of speech. So the Supreme Court says that, you know, they can't write banners and whatnot. I think I'm going to go get me a bottle of Jack Black and hang my hat on the bedpost. And
that's...
when I see three of them.
When you see three hats?
Yeah, then I may stop. I don't know. My language has gone to hell in a handbasket.
It has indeed.
Oh, thanks.
I've been meaning to tell you that. So has mine. Your tongue starts sliding over your teeth because how many times can you say, you know, this venal, corrupt criminal organization that runs the country, how many times can you catch yourself right before you loose an F-bomb and lose your license to broadcast?
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
Well, you know, I have to caution myself when I sit here on the phone. If somebody says something and I say, and no, I can't do that because he might push the button and I might be on air and that wouldn't work too well. So I have to control my urges while I'm listening. But these people will make you absolutely goofy.
I know. I know.
And in the heat of summer, it's even worse.
It's much worse.
Well, 200 executive orders. I wondered if he knows what he's written.
That would presuppose that he knows how to read federal government.
Well, he read, what was
legalese.
It, the Green Grasshopper? What was that book that he was reading? Was it the green something?
My pony, my yellow pony, my red pony.
No, when he was sitting in Florida reading a story to somebody with his kids on 9/11, wasn't it?
The upside down fish. I don't know. I have no idea what it was, Marge.
Jeez. Somebody taken for a long walk on a short pier, would they please?
A hungry caterpillar? Was that it?
Was that it?
My pet goat?
Yeah, his pet goat.
I think it was my pet goat. Do you
I'm going to throw this in at the tail end. They just wrote a new law. You know, they didn't have enough to keep them occupied in the fair state of Indiana. So what? You know what becomes a criminal act as of July 1st?
What?
God.
What?
Sex with animals.
All right, Marge.
They took the time to write that into law.
A lot of people are going to be disappointed now in Indiana. Marge!
Behave yourself. Think
positively. I'll talk to you later, Marge. Take care. Take care, Marge. You got to love her. I'll see you tomorrow night. Thanks for participating, however you did that, Truth Seeker. All right? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.